We're up to Perek Lamed Ches. We're winding down. We're going through Luchemes Chay Gemagoyk. We're up to Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, so Yud Ches. Okay, we discussed yesterday. Did we do all the Mepharshim yesterday? Yeah, we did the Elder Meida. We did that yesterday about the Shnayim, about the two different Nevim in ancient times that already prophesied concerning Luchemes Chay Gemagoyk. Elder Medad, Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Zechariah. Like I told you, Sachakol, there are five different dimensions. Elder Medad, which Rashi in the bracket says, each one besignun echad, each one in their unique understanding. That's two dimensions. Zechariah is three. Yecheskel is four. And the Mitzudah says also, Yeshaya. So there are at least five different prophets that had a perspective, had an insight into Melchemes Goyg u'Magog. Pasuk Yud Ches, V'hoya b'yom hu on that day. Again, it's Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches, V'hoya b'yom hu b'yom on the day Bo Gog al Admas Yisrael. When Goyg arrives upon the land of Eretz Yisrael, notice does not say Eretz Yisrael. Okay, isn't that very interesting? We're brainwashed with the term, it's the Eretz. Right. And here it's the Admas. What's the chilik between Eretz and Admas? Admas has more of a mundane connotation. Adam is earth. Okay, Afar min ho Adama. Eretz comes from a lot of Rots. Ritzui means Eretz is a lashon of Ritzui, which means like a Ratzon. It's an Eis Ratzon, the time of favor. The spirituality of the land is expressed better in the term of Eretz Yisrael, whereas Admas, the Adama, is more of a term of a materialistic, more of a physical manifestation,
physical brand, as opposed to the
spiritual essence. Right. Like we say sometimes, some of the Farshim, they say, like, what's the difference between Yerushalayim and Tzion? Yerushalayim represents the structure, the building, the land, the roads, the infrastructure, and Tzion represents the spirituality of the land. So notice here, it's very interesting, is where it says here, again, every pasuk is so different, and there's so much going on over here, it's really hard to keep track, all the different, how everything plays into each other, but notice here that when Gog arrives, where is he coming to? He's not coming to the Beis Medrash. Gog is coming to the Admas Yisrael. He's not parking his troops in the Beis Medrash to see what's going on. That's the Eretz Yisrael. Gog is arriving al Admas Yisrael. It means the mundane elements of Eretz Yisrael to take their wealth. Let's go further. The Um Hashem. So when he comes to Admas Yisrael, the Um Hashem Elokim, Talech Amosi B'Api Hashem. So on this day, my fury will rise up in my nostrils. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to get very angry. What are you doing here, Goik? You know, yes, are you the guy? You Goik? Even I never expected you to be Goik. I never thought you would be. And here you are. You're here to make trouble. Pasuk Yutes. Yeah?
I'm trying to think of other places where Israel is referred to as
one. Yeah.
And my first thought was, maybe it's a place where it's a term used when reward or punishment is being carried out. Or maybe it means somebody who is not yet a resident of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, here you have
green card
interlopers here, coming invaders, and they're coming to...
They have visas, three-month visa.
Here's the reason I'm saying this. Because we say in Vayom Shema, the mind will command you, Alva Domor, Asher Yishba.
Oh.
Okay. So, Klal Yisrael not yet living in the land of Israel. And it's just a fear.
Okay, you're right. I don't know, but it's a lot of times just throw out ideas. And it's something to think about. Here, all of a sudden, he's called coming to the Admas. Adam is called an Adam. Why? Because Adam comes from the Adama. Afar min hu Adama.
Okay,
so is that a milo? Is that a chasaran? Ato chonen li Adam das umlamed le'enosh bina. So is that a milo or a chasaran? Is Adam relative to the Enosh greater or is he less? On the one hand, Adam came first, so he's greater. He's the Yitzir Kap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mitzad Sheni, most of us assume that Bina is a higher level of understanding than Das. Maybe not. Maybe you'll show me otherwise. Okay, but just something to think about, that we've selected the word Adama other than the word Eretz Yisrael, which I believe is much, much more popular when describing Yisrael. Yisrael always refers to the Most HaMashiach, the time of Klal Yisrael, Kisorisa, Im Elokim, V'Anashim V'Tuchal. You would expect it to say with the word Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael, which has much more of a Ritzui, much more of a Rotz Kitzvi. It's Eretz Hatzvi, the little beauty, Rotz, that is associated with the word Tzvi. Eretz is called Eretz HaTzvi, right, which means a little beauty. And Tzvi's Mida is Rotz, is to go quickly, Zrizus, Rotz Kitzvi. Eretz clearly relates to the word Rotz, Aleph, Resh, Sadi. No, you disagree? Aleph is, can you say, is a vowel, is a part of Shoresh. I'm just throwing out ideas. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just throwing out ideas. I'm thinking out loud.
I'm thinking, as other examples run through my head, offhand, I'm thinking that Eretz is something to which you have a title, and Adama is something that you don't.
Ooh, okay. But you got to prove it. That's a very nice thesis. Now you got to go get your PhD on that. Go prove it. Al Admas Necha.
Gives an example of why it's that way.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
It's no Lohem.
Okay, so this is an idea. Maybe part of the Malm, some we know, the Sefer HaKarmel, the Rambam, the Malm goes and he contrasts all the different synonyms in Tanakh. It's just something to think about. Adam, by the way, is Oisios Me'od. This is a very famous Maral. Maral says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu call Adam by the word Adam, from Adama? Because Adam are the same letters as Me'od. A human being, Mitzadech, comes from the earth, the most mundane thing in the Bria. Yet the same letters capture the theme Me'od. This man, it's unlimited. Unlimited what he could accomplish in this world. So it's nothing, but yet it's everything. This is Maral. But here we have the Admas Yisrael. You can say the same thing. Mitzadech and Eretz Yisrael is Adama. What is it? It's desert land. There's nothing out there. It's in the middle of a desert.
Yeah, but the earth has a big
but yet, what? Yet, look what Eretz Yisrael is all about. Look at the Kedusha. It's the place of the Shekhinah. There's no greater accomplishment than HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested his Shekhinah, Abayis, Batachtoinim. He rested his divine presence in Eretz Yisrael. So it also captures the theme where it's earth, but yet it's ma'od. It's unlimited what it accomplished. Pasuk Yitess. We can see Eish Evrasi Dibarti. Hashem now goes for it. Hashem is fuming mad. Why over here have you? Why? What's with this? This king Goig and this nation. What are they coming here? What are they making trouble? We can see, and with my jealousy, Eish Evrasi, the fire of my wrath, Dibarti, I have spoken. Hashem says, what did I say? Imlo. The words Imlo always mean an oath. I hereby take an oath. I hereby swear. Hashem says, "Bayoymahu on that day, Yihye Rahash Gadol al Admas Yisrael. On that day, when Goig arrives, there will be a very great quake. Rash is a I don't know. There are different translations of the word rash. It means a storm, but it means there's going to be upheaval. Some type of
thunder.
Okay, so here thunder, different than me, thunder.
But sometimes it means an earthquake.
Earthquake, or it means a big storm, means a very big wind, or it means that is any ruach that I call rahash gadol. So what does that mean? It means a loud sound, whatever it means. It means it's going to be a lot of turmoil, a lot of upheaval at this moment in time. Al admas Yisrael, pasichav. V'roashu, again, the same words. V'roashu miponai digei hayam. Now here is something very unique. The digei hayam, the first thing we start off with is with the fish. And that goes back, we always discuss, goes back to the Mabul. The only creature that was not affected by the Mabul when Hashem destroyed the world for the very first time was the fish. The fish, that's why we eat fish Friday night, we will discuss, because the fish is an anical. Every fish that we have on Shabbos, we're going back to Mice the Bereshis. And in the world history, there's been a disruption. The world was destroyed. The Mabul. The way that we know the world today, it's nothing like the way the world existed in originally. It's a second edition, this world. And the second edition, normally the second edition is a lot better, right? Isn't that the way it is? The second edition, you take out all the errors, except for the Luchos. The Luchos is Ach, and the world as well. This world is a second edition, and the second edition is a far cry from the first edition of this world. The only thing that remains intact from the first edition that there was no tampering with was the fish. The fish were not affected by the marble. So here it says that on that day, when the world is going to be destroyed, okay, Melchemes Goig Umagoig, the apocalypse, so what does it say is going to happen? The first thing to go, the very first thing on the list is the fish. Haloi Davar. Isn't that interesting that the fish, that the ones that were not affected, now they're the ones that are affected. The birds. Now, by the marble, were the birds affected? Of course they were affected. Noach took into the table the birds. But mitzad sheni, the birds, think about it. When the marble was over, what did Noach do to determine if the world, the marble is over? He sent out birds. He sent out the Oirev and the Yonah. Everyone else didn't, no one went, everyone stayed put. So this goes to show that the birds are less susceptible, they're less vulnerable to Churban. Because even when the marble was winding down, Nechemiah is back. So even when the marble was over, the first thing that we can experiment with are the birds, because the birds are not as vulnerable to Churban as the other creatures. Noach didn't send out the lions. He didn't send out the dinosaurs. He sent out
the last things to go. In order of
how they came in. But when he wanted to test, when he wanted to literally test the waters, right? He wanted to test the waters.
Yeah, but he had to make sure that there was dry land because he sent out the dinosaurs.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say, is that somehow it was safe for Noah to send away the birds, because the birds are less vulnerable to Churban than everything else. So look what's happening here at the end of days, when the world is coming to an end. So the first ones to go are the ones that are, that we would think would be the least, the most robust, the most flexible in Churban. No, they're the first to go. The fish are going to go, the birds. And then it says, the chayas ha-sadeh, the animals, v'chol ha-remes ha-remes ha-la-adama, v'chol ha-adam, and all man, asher al-pnei ha-adama. So it does not say, so it says the whole world is going to be affected by this amazing event. V'nerasu ha-harim, here is very frightening. It says the mountains will be demolished. V'naflu ha-madregos. Now this is a big mystery what this means. Okay, I know Rashi and all the Farshim try to tell you what this means. Everyone is struggling. I have this sense, I don't know why, that we really don't know what this means. That when Mashiach will come and there will be the God of Muhammad, it will be like staring at us like, oh, it's obvious what it means. And all of the struggles that we're having over here in the Farshim with the Madregos. What are the Madregos? The steps. I know, you will see Rashi and the Farshim. What?
The plateaus.
Okay, so you can force anything. For some reason, I was trying to think that it refers to all the technology. The Madregos, all of the satellites. I mean, I was just like today. Think about it today. Today, what would be the most frightening thing for us today? If cell phone service would go down. Internet would go down. Okay, internet goes down. Think about it. No, it's really a sakana. The whole world, the electrical grid would go down. It's mamish pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh. You can't call for help. You can't walk in the street. The cars can't go. Nothing. So today, I mean, they have all these things today where just in case it happens, so there should be, you know, the street lights are on their own grid, and hospitals have generators, and everyone is prepared for this.
It wouldn't work.
What?
It wouldn't work. Nuclear is, we're not prepared for EMP.
But let's say, Lu Yitzuyu, let's say the electrical grid would mamish shut down. For us, for the average man, this would be much, much more dangerous than an earthquake or than any other type of natural disaster. Because natural disaster, so you hold on. You hold on to the rock. You shouldn't be swallowed up in the earth. But like when the technology that we have created for ourselves shuts down, we're finished. So maybe you have, some of these words here, some of them are very simple, right? The mountains. Hamadregos is not a term which really we're familiar with. Everyone in the Mepharshim is going to say what it means. Because in their time, there was no such thing as an electrical grid, the internet, and such things, and who knows what's yet to come yet. But we had this many, many other times before, where you have these very interesting psukim, where in modern times, yeah, it's very obvious what it means. And in the time when it was written, it wasn't so clear. But in any event, the Navlu Hamadregos, the steps, the elevations, the plateaus, I don't know, whatever it means. V'chol choymo l'oretz, till every wall will collapse. What does that mean? So I would say it means cybersecurity. Choymo, there's a firewall. There are firewalls.
Well, I don't want to, you know...
Wall against Mexico.
The wall gets better. But think about it. Every single computer today has a firewall built in. You don't have to buy any more McAfee and Norton. Windows 8, Windows 10 has built in what's called Windows Defender. Okay, it's a waste of money to buy now. They'll kill me for saying this, but it's true. I heard this from all the technicians, to buy a Norton. I used to have Norton 360, and then I used to have McAfee. My sister, she liked McAfee, and McAfee. You don't need it anymore, because Windows is built into Windows 8, starting with 8.1. They built in what's called Microsoft Windows Defender, and it's exactly the same thing. And it's constantly updating. It's just as good. You don't have to spend $100 on so that Chaimin, we know, I mean, reading the news every single day, this is the big event, is the Chaimin's, the firewall is hacking security. We're living in a society today where basically where everyone's afraid of Chaimin's people. If a hacker breaks into the military installations, they can launch missiles. Someone could be sitting in Afghanistan and playing with the computer. They can be launching nuclear. Right. They can be mimicking what Trump can do by pressing a button.
That thought process is, by the way, it means whatever an earthquake you would consider an earthquake in your time.
So these words, I mean, it's very hard to take literally. What do you mean? Every single wall in the world, every single wall in the whole world will fall down. What does that mean? There are a lot of walls out there. They're very thick walls, and suddenly there's an earthquake. Walls don't fall down so quickly. But if security, cybersecurity becomes bottle because it's so easy, because there's a new technology you can break through, there's no more security, and in the middle of every single person is vulnerable. Who knows what can happen? Okay, so these are some ideas. Let's go over here. Let's go through some sukkim. Before we go further, let's go through the sukkim in the Mefarsh. Pasuk Yudches in the Mitzudos Tzion. Pasuk Yudches says, let's find the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos David. Pasuk Yudches, there is none. How could that be? There's no Mitzudos David. Pasuk Yudches. Can that really be? I don't have. Do you have any Mitzudos David? He skips the whole Pasuk? Okay, I don't have anything. Pasuk Yudches. Well, kinasi in my jealousy, bavur kinasi dibarti be'eshevasi. Due to my kinasi, I've spoken in my fury. Im lo, I swear, hu in shavua v'gozam v'loy amar. This is an exaggeration. V'rashu pasuchaf hu in melitza. This is an expression. V'tzur loymar charado gedolot yawa ulim. Is going to be terror. The world will be in a state of terror. V'naflu hamadrego. So here he writes here hanasim la alois v'hem al hualios. What does that mean? Steps. To go upstairs. All the steps are going to fall down. Va'akolhu in melitza. It's not to be taken literally. V'yoyre al goydel hacharada, terror. Obviously, there's a lot more going on here. Pasuk, okay, that's all in the, let's see Rashi. Rashi is a little bit more elaborate. On the Madrigos, Pasuk Yudches in Rashi. V'hoya bayam ahu bayam bo'goy al adamas yisrol v'goymer v'rash godol al yidei koylois ura'omim kamoshu hu oymer. The Rash is sound. There's going to be a lot of sound and the ra'omim. Lightning, what is it? Thunder, sound and thunder, shock and awe. Kamoshu, and the pasuk goes on to say, pasuk chaf, v'naflu hamadrigos. So Rashi right away acknowledges that he's going to struggle. Ani shamati. Okay, ani shamati, obviously, it's not so clear what it means. Shehem siloim hazikufim utuloyim v'nirim kinoiflim. It means massive stones, massive rocks that stand high up, and it will appear as if they're falling. And what does that mean? I don't know what it means. I have no clue what this means. Mr. Glatter, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
There are rocks that are bound.
Yeah?
All over.
Yeah, what do you mean all over?
In Utah, they have whole parks of them. Natural boulders that are like
they're suspended.
Balanced on a point. They don't move because they're very massive. The wind and nothing blows.
But when there's going to be a big rash, then these massive boulders are going to come crashing down.
They'll be dislodged.
They're balanced. Okay. So right now they're holding on. They're just barely there. As long as the world is not disturbed, they can support themselves. But when there's going to be some type of quake, earthquake, some type of rash, they're going to tip and they're going to come collapsing down. And it's going to be a big sakana for the world. Vani, and then Rashi goes, What do I say? Him tile migdolim. So this means it's a man-made structure. Rashi here learns he disagrees with what he heard. It's a man-made structure. It means a tel means a mound of towers. It seems like it's a man-made tower. Shechayfrim saviv, which you dig on you dig saviv. What does that mean? I don't know what he means. What?
You dig earth around it.
You make on top. You make man-made towers by taking the earth from what's around. Battery City, and then what happens? The Zarkim offer b'emsal lahagbiya atel to make it very, very tall. The Osui Madregos, Madregos, and it's made at different levels, steps to get up to the very, very top. Kedei sheyamloid he'ofar, so that the earth shall remain, it should be stable when you build this. What? I'm sorry, yes, what does that mean there?
Echelons, steps.
Steps, okay. Kedei sheyamloid he'ofar, ul'acha shenichbash, shenichbash, yofeh. And after it's been nichbash, it's been, pressed. What?
After it settles.
Yafet noitlim hamal beinim mamide hamadrego. You take away the molds. You take away the bricks which originally kept the madregos in place. I don't know. So it sounds like. So what's going on? These migdolim, which have basically they have molds in order to put the earth in the right place.
They build buildings with the molds for the concrete.
The mold, and they take away the molds. So that's called the madregos. So why is that being singled out here in this? L'chaim, I understand. The earth, I understand. The mountains, I understand. But what is going on here? There's something very unsettling.
This is
the structures?
The structure is what man contributed.
What man contributed, the madregos. So these are the towers. So which is the migdolim. The word migdolim appears all over. The arim b'tzurais. There are so many other terms which are so much simplistic. Why is the word madrigos here, the steps, which is telling us the way it's designed, is describing the way these beautiful towers are designed. They're designed with molds and steps, and when you finish, you take away the casings, and then it stands on its own. And this, I don't know. Okay, I can tell you, I really don't know. This is what it says in Rashi. Rashi is giving his two interpretations, either with something which is natural or something which is man-made. And these things are going to collapse at the time of Milchemes Gog u'Magog. Pasuk Chafalf is later. It's the Radak. Radak starting with back in Pasuk Yudches. The Radak v'Hoya Mevarhu itself understood Pasuk Yudches uvenikinasi Rash Gadol chagmashmo shetirash aretz Yisrael. The earth will quake. V'chenema benu estecharya. V'nifka harazesim. It's going to split. It's going to flee the mountains, the mighty mountains, just like Nastem Yiponai Harash Bimei Uziyah Melech Yehuda. So here he's going to Zechariah. So Zechariah also talks about Melchemes Regel Malog, and he equates Zechariah to the time of Uziyah. Uziyah was the king, and he offered Ketores. He thought that he was a Kohen Gadol. He's not a Kohen. He's only the Melech. A Melech is not allowed to step into the Heichal. How dare he? And he did not pay attention to the law. He felt he was above the law. He brought Ketores. On the day when he brought Ketores, there was a massive, massive earthquake on that moment in time. And that, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset because here there was a breakdown in the structure of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was meant to be checks and balances. It's meant to be Malchus and Kahuna. And Malchus and Kahuna are separate. You don't mix the two. It's a team. They work together and there's a balance of power. Okay, checks and balances. And here when Uziyah... What?
Not all the time.
Not all the time. Okay, obviously it's very complex. But here was the first time in Jewish history where a person assumed both roles. He went and he was the Melech. He wasn't allowed to.
Moshe
was unique. But Moshe also had Aaron. Moshe had Aaron. Both. Torah u'gedula b'mokim mecha. That's the Daf Yomi a few days ago. Torah u'gedula b'mokim mecha. So yesterday, is that right? From this one until this generation, the Gemara says only was Moshe and Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Ravashi. Moshe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the team. The trial, Moshe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rav Ashi, the only thing they had Torah u'gedula b'makayim echad, but yet in the Beis Hamikdash there was Moshe and Aaron. Moshe was the Melech, was Mamish the Melech, he Bashun Melech, but Aaron was the Kahuna. Moshe had rights to Avodah. He wore a Levush Cholak, but Moshe never wore the Shemana Begadim. Moshe never wore the Chesha, never wore the Tzitz, never. So there's always Moshe did not know, definitely not. The Gemara Beferish, he wore a white. He did not even wear the garment of a Kohen Hedyot. There was no Avnate. There was no Mitznefes. What did he wear? No head covering. I don't know, Mustama. A yarmulke? Black yarmulke? A striable? A kippah sruga? Why not, right? So. Yes. The lishkas hagozis. The lishkas, the truth is the chachamim really are under the jurisdiction of the melech. The melech is the Talmud Chacham in chief. He is the supreme Talmud Chacham. That's how it's supposed to be. David HaMelech was the model. Mishpat B'cholis, David was sat in the reish of the Sanhedrin the whole day. Shlomo also. David and Shlomo, their place was in the Lishkas Hagozis. They were the people, that's where they felt, they really led the Sanhedrin. They led the Sanhedrin. Now the shayla is, can they really be part of the Sanhedrin? Because you're afraid, there's a shayla, that's the Gemara also, because you're afraid no one's going to argue with the Melech. But no, but the Chachamim are really part of the team. They're part of the Melech's team. The Melech really, what? His cabinet. All right, it is a different story. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but this is a whole different topic of a discussion. Any event over here, we have over here what it says. An interesting point is what it says here in the Radak. You really learn Zechariah, but Zechariah adds a new dimension to Melchemes Chag U'Magog, and then Melchemes Chag U'Magog already takes us back to Uziah. Uziah takes us back. There's a parallel between the two, and there in Uziah, it's clear the problem is the Melech is exceeding his bounds. He's going more. He's doing things that are not in his jurisdiction. And that brought a churban to the world. And the Radakist and the Pasuk there says is that Melchemes Goig U'Magog, in a certain sense, there is the same issue. It's very open, it's a very insightful Pasuk, because it's going to tell us is that part of the problem of Melchemes Goig U'Magog is that there are people in this world that are exceeding their bounds. They're going beyond what they're allowed to do. Hashem gave every person their purpose, their tafkid, and when you try to abuse your tafkid by doing things that are outside of your tafkid, this is all part of the breakdown of the world. The world is coming to an end, and that's expressed ultimately in Melchemes Goig U'Magog, and the precedent for this on a smaller scale was back in the time of Uziah, where it's very clear we see the breakdown of the structure of Klal Yisrael, where the Melech is behaving like a Kohen Gadol. Okay, let's go further. The Karasi Olav Al Goig Hashem. That's Pasuk Chafal. Now here in the Mefarshim, what did I jot down over here? Did I write anything down over here? No, not really. Oh, I'm a little weak in my preparation over here. Okay, but anyway, let's go to the next part. Pasuk Chafalif. Chafalif says, "V'Karasi Olav L'Chol Horai Cheref." Hashem says, "I will call upon him, upon Goig, upon all of my mountains, Cheref, the Hashem Elokim." Cherev ish be'achiv tihiyeh. Hashem says when Goig and his nation arrive, Hashem is going to say all the people living in the mountains shall come out to war. They come out with a sword, and the sword is going to be described as cherev ish be'achiv tihiyeh. Now what does that mean? It means the civil war? So a lot of mepharshim. All these things are very, very vague, and no one really knows what it means until it actually happens. But it says here there's going to be, when he comes, Hashem is going to be angry, and he's going to, what?
Friendly fire.
Friendly fire, could be. Cherev ish biyachet, could be, very well. Very well be the different interpretation of what this means, or it means it's going to be, some say it's going to be like another crusade. It's going to be the Yishma'elim, again, versus the Notrim. Some of the Farshim actually say that. Let's see one thing at a time. First, let's see over the Mitzudos. Pasuk of Aleph.
You know, the previous Pasuk, describing all these natural phenomena, things are going to be all shaken up, will cause confusion and will cause panic, and in that, then they're going to start
friendly fire
with one another.
Friendly fire, exactly. Everyone's going to be. This is going to be right. Let's see over here what it says. Pasuk Chafal v'mitzvus David. V'kras yolav al goig ekra sheyavoy hacherev el kol horei makom, to all the mountains shehu sham. So he learns is that not like I translate that the people in the mountains are going to come out and fight with Goig. It means Goig is going to settle in all the mountains. They're going to hide out in all the mountains. Hashem is now going to arouse the people living in Eretz Yisrael or in the world to go to these mountains where Goig has settled and fight against him. They're going to settle in the Horei Yisrael. And now the other nations are going to go to war against them. Cherev ish be'achiv. Ha-cherev ha-batiye, cherev ish be'leiv achiv. L'goydel ha-mahuma sh'yave bohem. So what does that mean exactly? It means great confusion. It means, I don't know, it doesn't really, the Mitzvah is not really explaining. It means, like you say, it's not like friendly fire. I mean, they're going to kill, they'll kill each other out. They'll be confused and they'll kill each other out. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Chaval says, V'karasi olav l'chol hori cherev, lovoi chere bohem olav, that the cherev shall come upon them. V'karasi means, v'zimanti, I will prepare. U'mahi ha-cherev, shekro olav, charbam shel atzmam. They'll do themselves in. The missiles will go and backfire upon themselves. Cherev ish be'achiv, a sword, each one against his fellow brother. And that's all it says. Radak pasuk apal for the decross the level goig l'chol harai kamo b'chol harai kamo o kamo al kol harai. So he says like the two interpretations that we gave. It means I'm going to call out to the people living in the mountains to come out and fight, or it means that the people living in the cities will go and fight against goig, who is the one that is living in the cities. Kamo shamar al harai yisrael yipol v'tirgum yonason v'azam nine. I will prepare l'mipal b'charba, that they should fall by sword al turei upon the mountains of my people. The different, a little bit of a twist is that basically is that they're going to go to war and they're going to die in the open mountains. Cherev ish b'yachiv teyeki heim yahargu ish esachiv b'mehumas Hashem shtiyeh bohem. Friendly fire. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim says, we do the pasuk chafal from the Malbim. Karasi uperash. Mahu harash she'ekro leharim b'shem cherev. So the Malam over here is getting a little more loud. He's saying there's going to be the rash that it said above. This commotion is not a natural commotion. It's not like there's a real earthquake. There's a real storm. The commotion is the fighting, the war. There's going to be some war. Sheharim atzmam yu charavitz will be like swords. Laharik b'chem ulechalis oisam ve'alzem ve'alkozem melitza. All of this is nothing more than an expression. It's not like anything anyone said until now. Okay, we did learn. I mean, I guess the Malam is going to go back to the Shita, say that this whole war of Goig is the nations that are the Arelim. He represents the nations that do not have a bris milah. Who are the nations that do not have a bris milah? All of the proxies of Edom, Esav, all those who embrace the ideology of Esav, Western civilization. And who are they? And who are they coming to fight against? They're coming to fight against those who have now come to make trouble. The Bnei Yishmael, all those who have embraced the ideology of Yishmael, who are called the Mulim, those who have circumcision, because Yishmael has circumcision by tradition. Avraham circumcised Yishmael, and by tradition, the real Yishmaelim do indeed have circumcision. We always have from the Shalach HaKadosh. The Shalach HaKadosh says, why is it that the Yishmaelim have the power? They occupy the land. We can't get rid of them. Why? Why can't we get? Why would we have such a hard time getting them out? They have a schus. They have bris milah. The koyach, the spiritual element of their bris milah, it's a shalah. I'm not making this up. The spiritual degree. Element of bris milah that the Yishmaelim fulfill is their right to remain in the land to some degree until the coming of Mashiach. And that's why no matter how hard we try to negotiate with them and to go to war with them and to do all the whole history of the Jewish people, I mean especially the last century, all the blood and all the tsaras, unfortunately they're still there. Okay, you can't deny the fact they're still there. They're still making trouble. Obviously. I mean, who ye per adam? What more do you want than that? Who ye per adam? What do you want? But why? I mean, how come we can't succeed? And how come all the nations of the world, all the people, every administration in the United States, they can't go even dollar amas. They can't accomplish anything. Why? It's l'mayla minateva. The Shlosh says this. The Shlosh. When did the Shlosh live? A long, long time ago. The Shlosh says because they have bris milah. They have bris milah, and this is the mitzvah of Avraham Avinu. And bris milah, they are yod gimel brisois shenichasu bebris milah, and they are yod gimel brisois that were nichras in Eretz Yisrael. And the mele, the two in Chazal are very, very clearly linked. The zchus of Eretz Yisrael and the zchus of bris milah are linked one to another, and therefore, since they do have bris milah, we're limited. in how what we can do, and the nafkamina. Nafkamina is, if you're going to try too hard, you're going to be very disappointed. Until Mashiach comes, if you really think we're going to succeed in removing them from the Harbayis, removing them totally from, the whole Eretz Yisrael. I mean, this is an idea. Maybe you'll tell me we're living in times of Mashiach now. So now the time has come for them to leave, right? Okay, and Echanami. So, you can twist it in any way you want. But it's an interesting idea from the Shlah, and he says they're going to have an Achiza. And if you want to be a politician, then you have an opening that maybe you shouldn't try to go to an extreme, to completely have them removed. Try to coexist with them peacefully to some degree until Mashiach comes. Until it's clear that it's Mashiach, the time of Mashiach is here, and now it's time for them to go. I don't know. Okay, this is the big mystery which everyone in the world is struggling with. So who knows? Okay, but we have over here this is how the Malm learned. It's the Mulim versus the Arelim. Not like Rashi, the Mitzudas Neradak, that learns that Goyk himself will kill himself. He doesn't need to fight with another nation. Goyk himself will have a little friendly fire, and they're going to kill each other out. Now we go to the next pasuk chav beis v'nishpatiti itoy. Now here we have a whole new world. Here it's almost like Yitzias Mitzrayim all over again. V'nishpatiti ito, I will judge him with the following punishments: b'dever uvedom. Dever is going to be as a plague. What exactly is a plague? I don't know. I don't want to know. Uvedom is blood. What's the hill between Dever and Dom? I don't know exactly. The Geshem, Shoytef. There's going to be a torrent. There's going to be a flood. A flood of Geshem. The Avnei El Govish. Hailstones. Okay, when was the last time it hailed? It was hail in Eretz Yisrael. Hailstones. It happens. In the Gav of stones. The Avnei El Govish. Then it says Eish fire. The Gophris. Gophris is sulfur. That's like in Sodom. Am tir love, I will rain down upon him. V'al agapav. Agapav means all of his wings, which means all of his associates. V'al amim rabim, I shall return all the nations which are with him. Then we come to the big pasuk. Okay, we'll read it now. V'hiskadilti, v'hiskadishti. And at this moment in time, I will become great. I will be magnified and sanctified. Yiskadal v'yiskadash. Shnei Rabbah. How many times we say that a day? 100 times. I don't know, 100 times, but many, many times. And where does the Yiskadal v'Yiskadash come from? This pasuk. This pasuk is the big pasuk. And it's referring, now we know the context. The context is Melchemes Goig u'Magog. And he is going to be destroyed first, friendly fire. Or there's going to be this magnificent war between the Arelim and the Mulim, according to the Malbim, and then there's going to be a whole sequence of events of Dever, Dam, Geshem, Shoytef, Avnil, Govish, Eish, Gophris, and then, as you can say, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Me'rabah. Let's go further. Yes, Shabbos Cholamoid. This is the Haftorah of Shvi'ishol Pesach. You're early. This is the Haftarah for... What Haftarah is this? This is the Haftarah, I'll tell you 1 second, of Shabbos Cholamoed Sukkos. Okay, I'm sorry. Shabbos Cholamoed Sukkos, so you don't always lane it. If you don't have a Shabbos Cholamoed, you're not going to say Kaddish. You're going to miss Kaddish. Okay, so you have to... Interesting thing, you don't want to miss Kaddish, right? People don't want to miss Kaddish. Okay, there's a great article in Ami magazine about Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky. He made a chasna, and he sang Kaddish for his father. One of the Kamenetskys, his son, Rabbi Binyamin was Nifter. So his son is a Rashiv in South Shore. It's a beautiful article. And he made a chasna for his child, and he was up the whole night. So he decided, should I stay up? I have to go to shul, I have to say Kaddish. Came back from the chasna at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was already 4 o'clock. What should I do? Should I stay up until davening, or should I just go to sleep for an hour? I'm going to go to sleep for an hour. So what happened, of course? He goes to sleep. He wakes up, so he has to go to shul. But he realizes that if he'll run to shul, he might not make Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. How could he not say Kaddish for his father and say the Kaddish that Rabban after Rabbi Yishmael? So the article is called Chasing After Rabbi Yishmael. To chase, who is Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael and B'shleish Esh and Yidush HaTorah Nidreshes. Your whole life you have to chase after the Torah, the Shleish Esh and Yidush HaTorah Nidreshes, chasing after Rabbi Yishmael. It was a very, very interesting thing. But over here, in Shabbat, when it's not a Shabbos Cholamoy Tzukis, you're not going to be able to say Yiskadal V'Yiskadash when you read the Haftorah. I'll be known. At this moment in time, Hashem says, I will be known, that it will be known at this moment in time amongst the eyes of the nations that is eyes who is Hashem. Okay, so this is a very important psukim. Let's go through it slowly. Go back to Pasuk. Chaf Aleph. Three psukim together. Two psukim. I will debate with him. I'm going to debate, it seems, with Dever, Ushafich Astam, a plague, blood, the Geshem, Shaitef, rain, a flood, torrent of rain, Luhumam, to confuse them, Ulablam, the Zete Hashev, Levikuach, Kibuze, Yodia, Sheposhubi, they will then recognize that they are guilty. Pasich of Gimel, in the Mitsudos, the Hiska Dilti. The Oz Eheye Migudol Umikudosh, I will then become Migudol Umikudosh, Vinoda Umufursom Leinea Goyim Rabim, I'll be known, Vyodu Hakol Shani Hashem, it is I that am Hashem, the Ain Od Zulasti, there is no one other than me at this moment in time. Let's see Rashi. Rashi is a little bit more elaborate. Pasuk of Beis, the Avne El Govish. Now I translate this as hailstones. If you just go back for one moment to the Mitsudos Tzion. How does he translate the word El Gavish? Avnei Barad, hailstones. Doimos El Evan Yakar, Hanikre Gavish. Why are they called Gavish? Gavish is a stone. It's a certain type of stone. I guess it's clear. It has a very similar resemblance to what hail looks like. Therefore, the word El Gavish is a borrowed term. There is apparently seemingly no word in the Torah for hail. Well, there is. Barad. Barad is hail. Borrowed is hail, it borrowed. But why do we append to it the word El Gavish? I don't know why, but it seems like since hailstones look just like this stone, this natural stone called Gavish, that's why we connect the two together. This is the simple translation of why it says Gavish. Avne Borrowed, Doimos El Evan Yakar Haniko Gavish, V'chein V'Atena, I will deliver upon you El Gavish, that's back before. Okay, we'll see more.
That means crystal.
Okay, it's a crystal stone. The gofris is sulfur, shame, hamin, haboyer, something which burns, which we know was thrown upon Sodom. Sodom was esh, gofris, shreifa, kolaritza. Okay, look at Rashi now. Now Rashi, with that in mind, look at how he ties al gavish, arnal gavish, avne, barot, hami, irois, kavonim, toivois, shashmam, gavish. It gives light.
Shine.
So this is a little bit more. It's not just crystal. It means these lights. Rashi seems to have some type of medrash. Is that these stones actually they are illuminate? They provide illumination. Kinyan shenemar ramois vigavish. Now it's very interesting. Is that in modern times? I always like to look at modern times. Missiles. They always show these clips of when the United States launches missiles on these warships against a target in the middle of the night. So the missiles are, you know, the fire from the rockets, you know, it lights up the night. It lights up the night. What's the national anthem? The rockets, red blare.
What?
The rockets,
red blare.
Red blare.
Bursting in air.
So this is mamish. To the time of Chazal, you couldn't say that because what are you talking about? What's a rocket? What's no, these things didn't exist. But when Rashi over here says stones. No, a stone is a missile. Ancient times, when you want to knock down the wall, they put the slingshots, catapults,
and
massive, and not just little slingshots, these massive.
The Midrash term for that is ballistoros.
Ballistics. So think about it. A stone was always a missile. The ancient form of a missile is a stone. And today, the missiles are not stones. The missiles are real rockets. And the rockets are. They light up the night. So when Rashi here says, Avne Barat, stones, hailstones, which are cause of destruction, Hami Irois Kavonim Toivosh Shashmim Govish. Wow! So you have a whole new interpretation of what's going on over here, what's going to happen at this point in time in the world and world history. And when it says Gophris, so we think of Gophris, sulfur. It's supernatural, right? What are you talking about? By stone. So then it says there was Gophris and Melach, salt and salt. It doesn't make the Alpidera Chateva, natural disasters. There's no such thing as sulfur and salt. But with technology, nuclear missiles and all these other biological, and all these other things that are out there, obviously, so it's not so far-fetched. When you hear these words, Eish v'Gophris, it's a whole new world. And obviously, these psukim, they come to light, pun intended, in a whole new view, especially since we're discussing here what's going to be a Yemos HaMashiach. Kinyin Shenemar, Ramois v'Gavish, that's why it's Gavish, Al-Gavish. We're dealing over here with different two kufa. Now let's go back to ancient times. Okay, before we go into modern times, new technology, 2007, we go back to ancient times. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it say? Al Gavish is a new trikin of three words. El Gavish. Al Gavish, the back of a man. Which man are we talking to? Vehoish Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, Avnei Barat, Shehizchil Leirid Al Mitzrayim, Ba'amdu Ba'avir, Al Gav Hoish, to the Gav of the back of a man, which, or because of a man, Moshe was mispalo, the bar should stop coming down. Ho'ish, ho'ish Moshe, shespalo shlo yerdu, ki yichnemar, umotor lo nitach orzo, lo higia laretz. So in other words, what he's alluding to over here is that when Moshe was, when Paro said to Moshe, Moshe, I want the bar to stop. Moshe said, hispor alai, tell me when you want it to stop. L'mochar. Okay, so tomorrow, so Moshe went, whatever, there's a lot of turn on this, but Moshe went out and he was in Mispalo. So Chazal say, when he was in Mispalo, the stones in Shemayim remained suspended. Mm-hmm. They were on their way, and Moshe was in Mispalo, so they remained suspended. So where are they now? They're out there.
They melted.
They know what?
Melted.
No, they didn't melt.
No, not at first.
They continue. Now they continue to go down.
Now they continue. Yeah. When Moshe was in Mispalo, they just... Yeah. They stayed in place. And this is not the first time. We have this by Chizkiyahu. Some say that by Chizkiyahu, where was it? Chizkiyahu was the sound. So I don't remember all the Midrashim. But there were different times in history where Chazal say that these stones did come down. The stones also came with sound. So the sound came down at one point in time, and stones came down at another point in time. Any event, even if it did happen before, there were obviously some stones left over. There were still some stones that are left over from the time of Yitzias, the time of the Makas and Mitzrayim, that did not yet come down to this where they're still suspended. And now, in the time of Lochem Yisgoig U'Magoig, Hashem is going to release them from their suspension. They're going to come down upon Goig. They're going to come down upon Goig. So therefore, what does that teach? The teachers over here is that the Geula, Eke Asher Eke. When Hashem recruited Moshe said to Hashem, will this be the final Geula? And Hashem says, no, this is not going to be the final Geula. Eke asher eke, I will be with you now, and I will be with you in the future. Moshe was very disappointed. Moshe says, shlach na b'yatishlach, I don't want to do it then. I only do a full job. I don't go do jobs. I don't do half jobs. Don't make me go do a job where it's not finished. Hashem says, too bad, I'm not giving you a choice. You'll have to do no matter what. But the truth is, Hashem did fulfill Moshe Rabbeinu's request, because the ultimate geula of Milchemes Goig u'Magog is really the hashlama of Moshe Rabbeinu's efforts of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and where does that come out in Hispoher Olai? It's a very beautiful pasuk. Hispoher means pe'er. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, try to glorify yourself over me. Try to go and catch me. Try to go see if, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to overcome. So the Pe'er was to Moshe Rabbeinu. What is Pe'er? Pe'er is Tfilin. Pe'ercha chavush olecha. And what is Tfilin? Tfilin is Umi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. What does that pasuk refer to? That pasuk refers to Yemos HaMashiach, Milchemes Goig u'Magog. Right, we say on Shabbos Mincha. Shabbos Mincha, by the way, is all about Milchemes Goig u'Magog. Okay, so we have to get there and discuss that as well. Ata echad, v'shimcha echad, umi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. There are three Shabbosos. The Shabbos Maaseh Bereishis, Shabbos Matan Torah, and the Shabbos La'aseh Lavoi. Shabbos. That's why Mincha, we have a Nusach Tefillah of Shmona Esrei, At Echa V'Shimcha Mika Amcha Yishol Goyin Chai Baretz. What is it saying in the Tefillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Gemara's question. In our Tefillah it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What is Hashem? What is it written in Hashem's Tefillah? Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyin Chai Baretz. What is Tefillah? Tefillah in Chazal's terminology is called Pe'er. And what did Paro, Moshe say to Paro in regard to the Barad? His Pe'er Olai. Try to put your glory over my glory. No, it's my glory, which means Hashem's glory will be way upon you. And that's where Moshe was mispalel, tefillah. The tefillah is also Hashem tefillah, that the avne el govish, the avonim should stop. And when now do they come down? When does the ultimate pe'er, okay, the ultimate pe'er, his spur alive, when does that pe'er come to fruition? The full fruition where the stones actually amashlim their tafkid in the times of Mashiach. And what is pe'er? Umi ke'amcha Yisrael ga'echad ba'aretz. And where was all of this caption, which event in the Torah? Barad! Barad! And that's exactly what's happening over here. The Avnei El Gavish is now going to come down. Moshe Rabbeinu, his statement to Ma'apara Melech Mitzrayim, his spoiler lie, is now being nishlam. The Avnei El Gavish is going to destroy Goyg and usher in the era of Mashiach. Okay, so this is what we have over here. For a little further, we go back to... Yeah.
By the
Tzardeya. Oh, I made a big mistake then. Everything I said is wrong now.
I made
a big mistake. I'm sorry, I made a big mistake. Okay, so you have to then go back and say, but you have to understand something. Barah Mikan, there's another passage by Bar that says Mikan, that Bar is Shukula connected call Hamakos.
Right.
Okay, I'm getting all mixed up. Okay, but Bar was a major, it was a very significant thing as well. It was the year of Shemayim. Hayore Devar Hashem Hainis Esavodav Mibnei. So the Baruch was also a major revelation in the theater. So I'm sorry, I spoke wrong. It's not the Hispoir. Sorry, it's not the Hispoir, but we can fit it into that section as well. A little twist here and there, you know. You have to know how to turn the light bulb. Turn the light bulb just enough. Not that type of light bulb. No. How many Lubavitchers do you need to change a light bulb?
About
how many Lubavitchers do you need to change light bulb?
One to hold it and two to turn the lamp.
None. It never went out. The light bulb never went out. It never died. Okay. I shouldn't say that. I'm a fan of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I shouldn't say to make jokes. I'm a fan of the Lubavitcher. I'm a fan of him. I'm really bad. So the Avni Al Gavish Al Gav Ish. Al Gav Ish means Moish. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "When the Avni Bar Hami Iros Kavod and Tavish Shem Shem Gavish Kini Shnemar Ois Gavish." We have said Amru Al El Gav Ish Avni Vodu Shehishil Leirid Al Mitzrayim BeAmru BeAvir Al Gav Ish Moish Es Valov Shal Yerdu Kini Shnemar. We did very much in the Chayat Sod Lo Higil Oros, and now the point of the here is because now they're going to come down and finish off the job. Okay, let's see. The next words are Radak. Radak Pasik of the Nish. Nishpatiti ve'av nil gavish who min mimine habarad ve'yesh mefarshim shem shnei milois v'etzolamer avnei barad doymois al gavish she min ramos v'gavish he even levana ma'avanu ha'yakaros it's expensive v'skadilti mevarhu itself understood fine. So this concludes this section. Now there is some of the farshim explain. Okay, the malbum is very nice here. It's a short malbum. Okay, explains very nice. The malbum here says. Vinishpati, we started later. We started much later. Vinishpati itoy mitzayer shahascholas hamishpat yeh bedev v'dam. He learns that there's a natural progression of the different types of punishment that's going to come upon goyg. It's first going to be a natural punishment where they can think to themselves the reason why we have failed is because it's a natural event. But as Hashem continues to punish them, the punishments become more and more supernatural. That's a very interesting point how the Malam Shan the Pasuk. First is Dever, right? They come from across the world and they just start dying. Why are we dying? We're not used to this environment. We're not immune to the different types of bacteria that are found in the Middle East. Right? People who come to Eretz Yisrael, they drink the water, they go crazy. right? Maybe today it's different. Okay, but when I was a kid, you go, they tell you, don't drink the water. You drink the water, you finish. I remember the first time I was a little kid, I drink water, I had diarrhea for a week. I remember. So the first thing is they come to Eretz Yisrael, we're not used to the climate, we're not used to the environment, we're not immune to the bacteria that's found in this region of the world. So they die. They die dever. Then there's dom. Okay, maybe another disease that, but everything is al derech hateva. Then geshem shoytef, all of a sudden it's a flood. Okay, so there are floods, there are natural disasters. The avnil govish, that's already never happens. Hailstones, there to show, when does that happen? Then Aish, the gofris, that's already 100% lemala miderech hateva. So the way the mom over here was learning is that there is a process. The process is it starts off natural, and as time goes on, the punishments become more and more supernatural. This is the opposite of Yitzias Mitzrayim. In Yitzias Mitzrayim, it started off from day one as supernatural. Okay, the mate, the simonim, the nochash, the mate, dam, tzvardeh, kinim, orv, devecharv, and as Klal Yisrael, that was really the punishment of the Egyptians, but the whole goal was to get Klal Yisrael into a hanhog of haneg, bohem, minog, derecharetz. The goal is I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim in a supernatural way, and I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael to live al derech teva. Here, the punishments are starting off the way Hashem is ushering in Mashiach is natural events, slowly building up into supernatural events. There's an opposite direction taking place in times of Mashiach versus the times of Yitzias Mitzrayim, according to the Malbim. Let's look at the words one more time. These are natural things. First is Dever Dom. These are natural things. This Dever, this blood, they get killed in war, they have a poor battle strategy. Then Vinishpati binifal uchilu yishopni mohem kiadan ye yachishu yodohagdulva. So then Hashem, they're gonna deny. They're gonna die naturally, they're gonna be defeated in battle. They're gonna say, oh, it's not the Yad Hashem. It's just that we did not immune our soldiers, like you know, the United States, the Persian Gulf War. A lot of soldiers came back very, very sick, ad hayom hazeh, and they still do not know why. The first Persian Gulf War, a lot of soldiers who came back from war were sick, were ill, and all these theories. Maybe they were using chemical weapons against them. And some said, no, just stop. The Americans are not used to the Middle East. They're not accustomed to that part of the world. And being there for long periods of time had an effect on their health, and that's why they died. That's why they got sick. So they'll attribute their failure to natural events. Why did we lose the war or the battle? Well, our battle plans weren't so great. Don't you think maybe it's the Ribbono Shel Olam? Maybe he's doing this to you? Don't you recognize this Ribbono Shel Olam? No, we don't. So Hashem has no choice but to go to the next step. And the next step is Geshem, Shaitef, Avnil Gavish, Eish, Vagafrit, Samti Alav, Sheze, Oinoshim, Shemeimim, Nisiyim. Miraculous punishments. Hashem has no choice but to go up another notch, to bring upon them miracles to wake them up. Look, these are miracles. Shenikar Lakol Ki Etzpa, Elohim who, and then the Oz, and the next moment in time you come to, the next one talks about Hiskadilti, we do my album, Yakir Shani Gol Bashakol Sibos Meiti, Yashani Kodosh, Mubdul, Menateva, Umis Nasela, but also some of them, the idea came that in there going around Yaduki and Yashem. Okay, so it's going to be Hiskadilti. Now, this is the topic of Yiskadal Viskadash. Okay, a lot of things to talk about here, but just for the moment, let us focus on the grammar. Do you say Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh, or do you say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash? So, first of all, what's the difference between the two? Yiskadal v'Yiskadash is Hebrew, and Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh is Aramaic. The Kaddish is all written in Aramaic. Be'olamo divrochi l'sev yavlich malchus say, I mean, it's Aramaic. Okay, then to talk about. So it's all in Aramaic. So, l'chayra, you should say Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh in Aramaic, right? It's Aramaic. Yet, So why then do many people say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash and do not say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash? It's because it's borrowed from, these two words appear explicitly in Yechezkel. And Yechezkel is speaking Lashon Kodesh, not Lashon Aramis. So therefore, since these are two words which are taken, extracted directly from the Pasuk, which is B'Loshon Kodesh, now the form here is a different form, Yiskadilti, Yiskadishti. Hashem is speaking about himself. And when we recite it Yiskadal Meyu Hashem, Meyimi Yiskadal V'Yiskadash, so we have to change the form of the word because we're the speaker, it's not Hashem, but being that it's being extracted from a Pasuk in Yechezkel, which is written in Lashon Kodesh, so therefore some argue that you should say Yiskadal V'Yiskadash in Hebrew. Oh, but the rest of the Kaddish is in Aramaic, so you're inconsistent. You got to be consistent in life. You ever meet a person that's consistent in life? Okay? Some, you or Mayor? You ever meet a person? Consistency never held anyone back. Never, ever, ever. There's no harm done if you're inconsistent. So therefore, so Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, you say like it says in the Pasuk, in Yechezkel, B'Loshon Kodesh, you pay homage to Yechezkel, it's Hebrew, and everything else, it was Chazal wanted you to say the Lashon Aramaic, you should understand it, and Malachim should not understand it either. One of the Malachim, if the Malachim understand two words, it's not so bad, just as long as they understand the whole thing. So everything else we switch back to Aramaic. Okay, so these are the basic arguments in why in some shuls they'll say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, and in some shuls they'll say Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh. If you want to be consistent, you're going to say Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh Shmei Rabbah, because everything in the entire Kaddish is B'loshayin is Aramaic. If you want to be true to where it comes from, to remind yourself, it's Yechezkel, Perek Lam Ches, Vulchem Eskoy Gumagoyk, and here it's B'loshayin Kodesh, and we're changing it from Hashem's form to our form, then you're going to say it B'loshayin Kodesh. Those are the bait. But one thing you should not do, you should not say Yiskadal v'Yiskadesh. Or Yiskadel v'Yiskadash. That you should not do. Okay.
People who do it.
That's right. No one condones such behavior. He has two nuschas. Arskan has become very politically correct. Arskan and all of the Sidurim, they have both. They have one nusach on the top and on the bottom. They write nusach acher. They do that across the board. Married Ageshem and Goshem, and then they have many versions. They have Ashkenaz and Sfarim to linear and a Rosh Hashanah machzor and Yom Kippur machzor and this and that. They have so many versions. So art school, they like to make everyone happy. They have many nuschois acher. But this is an old debate, and Elu v'Elu divri elokim chayim, and most shuls doesn't make a difference unless you have a shul, they're very, very hakpada. I always say chayim are very chayim bulin. The chayim bulin generally, you know, they're very rigid. They keep to the nusach. So cannot all the time see skadal v'yiskadash. I think there is could be this hakpada. The shliach tzibur always says yiskadal v'yiskadash, and people. But on Yomim Noiroim, the Shliach Tzivor, he says Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh. So it's like, what? The Baal Musaf. Yeah, it's funny. The Baal Musaf on the Yom Noiroim, he very clearly says Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh. And the whole year around, every single day, Shachris and Chamariv, they're always saying Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh.
Let's make sure the Malachim here.
So it goes to show, you know, you can try all you want, but there's always going to be someone that's going to ruin the fun. Okay, so now, why dafka these two words? Yiskadilti, this Kaddish is Yigdal Koyach Hashem. It really comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. What was Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe was Mispalel at the time of the Chet HaEgel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael for their Chet. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, how could you destroy Klal Yisrael? Yigdal no koyach Hashem. Koyach is 28, and the first section of Kaddish there are 28 letters. Yiskadal, v'yiskadash, shmei, Rabbah is 28 letters. There are exactly 28 letters, and there are 28 words until you get to Yehi Shmei Rabbah. There are 28 words. Everything about the first part of Kaddish, the number 28, 28 letters, 28 words. Why? Because since the Kaddish begins with the word Yiskadal, Yiskadal means to become magnified, it's all falling back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it's so nice here when it says V'avnei El Govish. You see, when you learn the Pesukim inside, get a whole new perspective. We come out of this is so typical of the Nusach HaTfilah. You just say a pasuk, totally out of context. You have no clue what we're saying. When you say Yiskadal, you cannot appreciate Yiskadal unless you know the pasuk before the Hiskadilti. You have to first know that Yiskadal comes from Hiskadilti Viskadishti. And then you have to know what comes before it. What comes before it is V'avnei El Gavish. What's Avnei El Gavish? El Gav Ish. Who's the Gav Ish? The Ish Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're finishing off Moshe's process. Moshe was the one who took us out of Mitzrayim to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. And something went wrong in the middle. There was a very great danger we were being completely obliterated. And Moshe Rabbeinu came in for the save. Hashem, what's going on here? You hired me to take them out of Mitzrayim to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And now you're going to destroy them. It's the Chil Hashem. V'yata yigdal no koyach Hashem. The koyach of Hashem has to remain strong in difficult times. Okay, there's a lot of Torah what this means exactly. But basically, Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading with Kadosh Baruch Hu, the mission is incomplete. I took them out of Egypt to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, and now, all of a sudden, you're becoming weak, Hashem. You're just giving up in the middle. You think, I'm weak. You're the weak one, Hashem. You're giving up. You had faith in Klal Yisrael, and now you're giving up in Klal Yisrael. V'ata, just because they made a mistake. Everyone makes a mistake, so they made a mistake. So what? V'ata, yigdal no koyach Hashem. The koyach of Hashem has to remain firm. You took them out of Egypt. You're going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, whether you like it or not. And even though they made mistakes, you'll forgive them for their mistakes. The koyach of Hashem to be consistent. Now, when we're finishing the job, Avnei El Gavish, El Gavish, Moshe Rabbeinu's Borod, which is Shekula Keneged Rashi, says Kol Hamakos, for all the different meanings, what it means, is now coming down. Moshe Rabbeinu is being mashlim the mission. The mission is now coming to fruition. Mimela, the koyach of Hashem, is now being fulfilled, is now being expressed. Ah, now you understand why it's now Yiskadal. Yigdal no koyach Hashem has been fulfilled. So it's amazing when you read, when you say the Kaddish, Yiskadal, what is that all about? You gotta know the pasuk, the Hiskadilti. Where does Hiskadilti come from? It comes from the pasuk before. Avnei El Gavish, Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is finishing the job. Why is Moshe so important? Because Moshe was the one who saw it all the way through, even in the weakest times, the most difficult times, and Moshe had injected in HaKadosh Baruch Hu the pasuk Koyach Hashem. So all of these ideas come together to appreciate what it means Yiskadal v'Yiskadash. Okay, maybe we'll do more Kaddish tomorrow. Maybe it's Kedai, we should, I should spend some time looking up some things for the Kaddish, and then we'll go on to passing. We're not finished yet. There's more Lametes goes on to another dimension of Doig u'Magog.